The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open the word of truth to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, verse 1. The believer in Jesus Christ cannot make spiritual progress if the believer is out of fellowship. Everything works when you are in fellowship, and you know how to get there if you're out. So this is one of the things that leads to the breakdown of believers spiritually, to be consistently here but not here. You got to get in fellowship. Everything else will take care of itself. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know from your word that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We're here to pursue life and life more abundantly as positive believers aspiring to the high ground of phase three. Thank you for this opportunity. We do not take for granted in these very lawless times that we continue to have the wherewithal and the protection and the freedom to assemble and hear the word of God. Be with us in our study, in Christ's name. Amen. The command to submit to government authority, first two verses that leads into this section. Every person. The adjective pos, all, or every in the singular. And the word translated person is the word that is usually translated soul. Every soul, person is fine, is to be in subjection. To be in subjection, this is an imperative. So it becomes for us a royal imperative, a present passive imperative of the verb hupo tasso, which means to be subject to. The governing authorities. The word governing is a participle, and it is hup er reko, which means to govern. And then the word authority is exousia, in the plural. Subject to the governing authorities. Paul, writing to the believers in Rome, the capital of the empire. Then he goes on to explain, for there is no authority. There is no authority, strong negative, is present active indicative, except from God. Except from God. There is no authority, exousia again, except hupo. This is not the preposition ek, but that's okay. It's just the preposition hupo. There is no authority except by God. And those which exist are established by God. Let's reiterate it and restate it. And those which exist. excuse me. And those which exist. By God. And those which exist. Excuse me. Got my eyes off the wrong place. Definite article. The present active participle of the to be verb. Those existing are established by, hupo again, by God. Established is the perfect passive participle of tasso, which means to appoint, institute, or establish. So this makes it clear that when we submit ourselves to the authorities within the establishment chain of command, we are in fact submitting to God who placed them there. I don't care what the form of government is. I don't care if the rulers are believers or unbelievers. We are responsible to obey the law and live under their rule. More on that. Now the warning, verse 2. Therefore, the conjunction here, followed by whoever resists. We have the present middle participle, antitasomai, to resist, and then the definite article, the authority, has opposed, taking it up on a higher level, has opposed, perfect active indicative, antithistemi, means to oppose, the ordinance. Ordinance is the definite article, dative feminine singular noun, diatage, of God with a genitive. And they who have opposed, perfect active participle, again the same verb, antithistemi, and those who oppose will receive future indicative, third plural, lambano, receive condemnation, that's the noun krima, which means condemnation or judgment, upon themselves, to themselves, the pronoun heautu. All right. That's pretty clear, isn't it? One, believers' responsibility with respect to the establishment chain of command falls under the category of, earlier in the book, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God as per Romans 12:2. It's a part of the good and perfect will of God for you as a believer. You come to Bible class to learn, be enlightened with regard to the directive will of God on all these different matters. Here we're focusing on one single area that we are involved with directly or indirectly every day of our lives. Those out there that are responsible for law and order. Those who are responsible to enforce just, fair laws over the population so that those of us who, and those who are law-abiding, can carry on with their lives with minimal problems. And those who want to live outside it, and there are many of them, if things run right, they are taken down one way or another. That's the importance of the establishment chain of command due to the prevalence of the STA and that some people do not want to abide by the rules. They want to steal. They want to manipulate people, break laws, involve themselves in enterprises that are clearly illegal and corrupt. I was told that the United States, I wouldn't know, but I was told that the United States has more people in federal prisons, in state prisons, than any nation on earth based on our population. What does that tell you? So in verses 1 through 7, we have an all-important presentation affecting the life and witness of believers. The life and witness of believers. It is through this that you can add to, as a believer, your good witness before men, before people. Three, without exception, every individual, every soul, is to be in subjection to the laws of divine establishment and to those who administer the law or the laws of the land. No individual is above it, or shouldn't be. No individual should be or is free to violate the authorities who are chosen to maintain law and order. Now here he doesn't get into corrupt administrators, corrupt politicians, judges, and the like. He doesn't get into that. That's for another subject at another place. But if they're in the chain of command under God, they are held responsible, as all authorities are held responsible. All authority established by God is held responsible before God for their conduct. Otherwise, you have rampant lawlessness, which is escalating in our nation. I read about things all the time that, while there were acts of lawlessness and things throughout my history, it is just accelerated beyond the point of recognition. And that a lot of that is that those who have been given the mandate to maintain the proper behavior aren't doing their job. And some of these cities are running amok with lawlessness in the streets. They're walking into places in gangs and just looting places. They ought to be shot down. They ought to be made an example. That's the only thing the STA that they would understand. You can die doing this. Is it worth it? There was a fairly articulate presentation by a high school student who got out of war-torn Ukraine so they could come over here and go to American high school. They picked San Francisco. She wants to go back. Students screaming at the teachers, acting up constantly. That's no kind of environment to learn. You never did that when I was a kid. Never. You went down to the principal's office. And it didn't even have to be anything major. Talking out of turn, whatever. Yeah. And the really bad ones, and you always have really bad eggs in your deal. I got sent down there once, talking out of turn. And this principal had a reputation. He put the fear of God in people. On the surface, he was a nice acting guy. And I was shaking in my boots. Because there was a couple, there was this one individual, male, who shoved an elderly, I think it was English teacher, it doesn't matter. He shoved her. Big old burly guy. That principal got him, drug him into the boys' room, took his belt off, and you could hear him screaming all over the place. Now that tends to put the fear in the rest of us, okay? Did you ever hear that? No, he can't touch anybody. So the second line in verse 1 states the reason for the command in line 1. Paul speaks of the existing governmental authorities within the Roman Empire. That would have to apply to these pagan Romans, right? They understood They had laws. They weren't chaos. Yes, there were corrupt Romans and positions and obviously all the way up to Caesar. But they understood that you cannot have a prosperous society where people can go to work, go to school, do this and all the rest, run a business, and have this criminal element running amok. So they had elaborate law codes that affected a lot of different things and other minor things. I don't mean minor in that they're not important. I mean just other things. Because these authorities, they have a lot of responsibilities. You have to have police out there on the ground. And what do we get in America? Some of these idiots want to defund the police. Well, arm yourself to your teeth if you lived in a place like that, so that these criminals can just do what they want to do with no threat, not frightened. Up in Portland and some of these places, it's mind-boggling. I don't know what degree is going on today. Burning and looting. Ugh. When Jesus Christ rules on the earth, none of this nonsense will be permitted. And you and I, as believers, will be administrators of the justice over these people, up to and including capital punishment for certain crimes. That's right. People will know, if you do that, you're dead. And yet there's dummies that'll do it anyway. Well, then they're dead. There are crimes that are worthy of death and execution. He states that the authorities are established by God. 8. By this he means that they derive their right to rule ultimately. Their right to rule ultimately derives from God. My right to be up here and teach you Bible doctrine all these many years derives from God. It derives from God. Respect your authorities in Jesus Christ. He doesn't get into, well, what if they're trying to force something on you that violates your Christian principles? That's for elsewhere. We touched on that, or we dealt with that in the review of the doctrine, where there's a conflict between the will of God and the will of some administrator. Then we just stand up. We do not deny our faith. We do not quit praying because they made a law that everybody in the Persian realm had to not petition any god and other than the leader. And these guys were into that. They were up to no good. They tricked Darius, because they fed his approbation. He fell for it. When he realized he was used, and this wasn't a sincere honor the top ruler, he threw them all in the lion's den. It boomeranged on their heads. And Daniel didn't act up, didn't scream and yell, didn't. And then when he came out, he didn't say anything derogatory. How could you, or whatever you might imagine. He didn't say any of that. He said, O King, live forever. In other words, we're going on, business as usual. Yeah, you put me in a, he didn't even say this, you put me in a situation that was certain death for anyone else. What it did is gave a phenomenal witness. Because when Darius couldn't sleep because he cared and respected Daniel at an unbelievably high level. Daniel was the real deal. If you can make anybody as under you to carry on the things you want a Daniel. And so he spent the night with no sleep. First thing in the morning, he's at the lion's den gate. O Daniel, did your God deliver you? Yeah, he delivered me. I would be thinking, if I was to rise, I think I need to get another God. And maybe he did. Maybe he came around like Nebuchadnezzar. And then he issues a big edict telling everybody, you don't say anything bad about the God of Daniel, which means the God of the Jews. The nations around knew that they were monotheists, one God. They didn't have multiple gods until they brought in the pagan junk. But their system was one God overall. And that was a powerful witness at that time. Regardless of the form of government, we are to obey the administrators of divine institution number four. God has established all the four divine institutions, which by now you should be able to run them, say them instantly. Volition. It's under attack. Free will. Freedom. I want to do this for a living. Or I want to do this. Or I want to live here. Or I want to marry this person. Or whatever it is. I have freedom. Freedom of association. Freedom of enterprise. Freedom of speech. As long as I'm not lying to people and doing things like this to deceive people. So that's volition. And then there's marriage. And oh, it's really under attack. It's insane. But see, this is the devil's world. And now that the restrainer is not restraining, we have all of this mess being pushed on the human race that this is an okay relationship when it isn't. And then family. Man and woman married, have children. Divine institution three. They all came pretty quick on the scene. And then after the flood, nationalism. All these nations, all over the place. What is opposed to it is tearing down these nations and trying to form a new world order. That's what it says on the back of your $1 bill in Latin. Novum, new, and it's right in there. It's new world order. New world order on our $1 bill? Well, of course, you got that stupid pyramid with the capstone lifted up over it with the eye in it, the all-seeing eye, supposedly. That's the Egyptian god, this chief deity of Egypt, Horus. Which he didn't exist, of course. It's Satan. And then down below it is in Roman letters, Roman numerals, May 1st, 1776. Check it out. May Day. May 1, the big communist big deal day. It's on there. It goes back to Adam Weishaupt, which you probably never heard of him, that the elite brought in for his ideas that were corrupt. But anyway, the form of government, monarchy, constitutional republic, that's what we are. Pure democracies don't work. Democracy. From the Greek demos. And theocracy is rule. Demos means mob. Mob. Rule. Anyway, just for the heck of it, pursue all that mess on the back of the $1 bill. They were signaling this. This goes, I think this goes back to the Roosevelt administration. We got that mess put on there. The backside. Those who resist civil authority resist God. Well, there's a bunch of people doing that. They resist God. Don't be a resister. This covers everything from so-called minor stuff up the ladder. Don't be involved in it. Don't engage in it. From speeding to driving under the influence. Those are just a couple quick examples. God establishes the civil authority to punish the violators of the laws of the land. When they're doing their job, that's what they do. And it's that there are people who are being punished for their crimes. All right, verse 3 and 4. No need to fear unless. Verses 3 and 4. There's no reason to fear. When they are doing their job and carrying on, you have no reason to fear. From the policeman directing traffic on up, you have no reason to fear. Again, we're not dealing with corrupt administrators or individuals. They should be treated just like any non-government person who has been given authority over an area, if they act up, you know, as in police brutality or something of this nature, they should be dealt with. For rulers are not a cause for fear for good behavior, but for evil. Archon, rulers, plural, are not strong negative. A cause for fear. Present active indicative of I mean with the word, we get our word phobia, the Greek noun for fear, phobos. For rulers are not a cause for fear for good behavior. All right? For good work. But for evil. The word evil is kakos, means bad, evil. So they're not a cause for fear for good behavior, but for evil. And so he says to these Christians, do you want to have no fear of authority? Of course, this type of presentation draws the answer, no, I don't. Do you want, desire, telo, present indicative, no fear, present infinitive, and now we have the verb, phobetomai, of authority. Definite article again with exousia. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you'll have praise from the same. Do what is good. Go about your business in your life and do what is good, and you will have epinos, and you will have epinos praise from preposition ek, the same. For as a minister of God, to you for good. For it is a minister, diakonos. It is a minister of good, agathos, to you. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. If you do what is evil, bad again, kakos, poieo, to do, be afraid. Present imperative, phobetomai. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. The sword represents punishment. For it does not bear Makaria, for nothing. Adverb, vain. For not in vain does it bear. The word bear is phareo, which means to wear. For it does not wear or bear the sword for nothing. Notice how he drills this in. For it is a minister of God. They're doing God's work. They don't even have to be believers. They're doing God's work. For it is a minister of God. Diakonos. An avenger. Ekoikos. An avenger. Who brings wrath, an avenger of wrath, with respect to orge, wrath, for the one who practices praso kakos, evil. Okay? The prerogative of rulers arises from divine appointment. The prerogative of rulers arises from divine appointment. This appointment validates the punishment that rulers administer. They have been given authority so that we don't have, in the extreme, revenge, vigilantism, as does exist from time to time. It's their responsibility to deal with this. This appointment validates the punishment that rulers administer. Again, again, again. Paul is not talking about violations and extremism and whatever on the part of corrupt rulers. He's not talking about that. That's for another place. We're talking about when they're doing their job. Those who are law-abiding have no reason to fear those who punish wrongdoing. Crime. Everything up the ladder from minor stuff to big stuff. The authorities under divine institution number 4 are to maintain law and order and generate fear in would-be criminals. If it was and the purer you get that system, the more effective this is. And of course, today there's the big breakdown. But this is the ideal situation. The fear that rulers evoke serves to restrain criminal activity. It can't eliminate it. Their people are going to do something anyway. As I said, there will be people who will commit capital offenses in the millennium. They're that stupid. That's why the rule of Christ on earth is called the rule of the rod of iron. We won't have to put up with that stuff. Yes, there will be criminal acts, but in the millennium, you won't have cartels. You won't have people planning stuff, violating the law, cabals like we have that's hijacked this civilization. They really hijacked it back in 1913. They hijacked the financial system first. You got to do that. Funny money. The Federal Reserve System, which is not federal at all. It's private. President Andrew Jackson fought against them when they were trying this back during his administration. He said they were a den of thieves. And by Almighty God, I'm going to rout them out. Well, they keep coming back. They keep coming back. And they gave us the Federal Reserve System. And that's why you have inflation, recessions, depressions, booms and busts. Yeah. And they haven't been dealt with. So Jesus Christ is going to have to deal with them. Because there were men in Congress and everything that said this is way out of line we here have just established the greatest monopoly on earth. And it's going to have bad results if it isn't overturned. Kennedy wanted to do it. He ran a $2 bill out there, a silver certificate, to compete with the dollar bill. He did. I got one of them. But these people have entrenched themselves, and it isn't just about the money. See, they live aloof above it. They hide all their money in foundations and everything. So they don't have to worry about tax day. Then they gave us the federal income tax, tax and labor. Then they decided, they figured out that we have got to influence public opinion and we've got to own the media. It didn't happen overnight. We've got to have a top-down control of the educational system. These are just examples. So this kind of evil is on the verge of being wiped off the face of the earth. And the names and the people that are involved in it. Okay. The apostles' teaching, point six, emphasizes the execution of the punitive towards criminals. And this is fully supported by God, the author of nationalism. When they do it right, he's all for them. When they imprison, execute, whatever they got to do, whatever the law says, if you do this, God is right there and backs them all the way. If you read the law of Moses, you see the punishments for different kinds of activities. From stealing to rape, that's always capital punishment. Of course, murder. And these other things. You can read it in the law of Moses. These are things you are not to do, or else. The question poised in verse 3 expresses more fully the opening statement in this verse. 8, if we abide by the laws of the land, we should have no fear of government authorities. Nine. Paul declares that if we follow the local and national laws, as we say it, we put ourselves in a position of gaining the praise of those who administer the laws of the land. That's a law-abiding citizen. That's a good guy. And that is, you don't have to run out here and do anything special. It's just observation. The person that's constantly in trouble, constantly getting fines or arrested and released and on and on and on. Well, that's one thing. But the person that's law-abiding gets praise from the establishment chain of command when they do their job. That's one person they don't have to worry about. They don't have to concern other than to protect them. If they need to call the police department because of some threat. Paul declares if we follow these laws, we put ourselves in a position of gaining the praise of those who administer the laws of the land. There have been examples of this, of outstanding examples of individuals who did the right thing and or even got some kind of an award, a good citizenship award, for doing something special above and beyond. This good citizenship standing is to be cherished. 11. The designation minister of God should remove any human viewpoint notion that the state is simply the lesser of two evils, the greater being the criminal element. It should eliminate any kind of thinking like that. They're doing God's work when they're doing their job, when they're dealing with whatever kind of criminal activity it is. All these crime shows on TV, out getting the bad guys. We've had them for a long time, you know. And there's some really bad criminals out there, and have been. Mafia. So, 12, for believers who honor the divine institution, the administrator of justice is a minister for good. He is a minister for good. As I said in this, apart from the establishment chain of command, as I said, we probably it's breaking down real bad around this country. It's not safe to go out like it used to be in some of these city streets, especially after dark. It shouldn't be that way. But it is. Apart from the establishment chain of command, we should not, we could not pursue, that should be pursue, misspelled it. We should not pursue, we could not pursue in peace the directive will of God. We couldn't have a local church here. If criminals are running all over the streets and up and down the streets, yes, you're going to have isolated type people from time to time. But we should be able to call the Bethany Police Department here and get a response of any activity that's inappropriate. The civil authority is God's servant to whom we should accord dignity and respect. Again, the section does not deal with abusive authorities. It just deals with the ideal situation. And the ideal situation is these people are God's ministers. To deal with the STAs of those who do not want to live according to the rules. So the rest of us can live a peaceful and tranquil life in our homes, in our schools, in our businesses, out on the street, etc. We should have that confidence. The good we derive from their efforts is defined in 1 Timothy 2:2. We are to pray for kings and all who are in authority so we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and dignity. So in conclusion, this evening, I ask you to pray that God will continue to keep His protection around us, even though things aren't as safe as they once were because of corruption in high places. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God the Holy Spirit encourage us to adhere to this royal directive in Christ's name. Amen.